Welcome. Again, I appreciate your attendance very, very much. This evening, I'm going to give you a, kind of an introductory lesson on the familiar story of the prodigal son. It's found in Luke chapter 15, and we'll read it together if you'd like, or just follow along, or you're welcome just to listen to me. But the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, beginning of verse 11. The story that Jesus tells begins, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them, and we introduce to the younger son first, and then the older son is in verse 25. The younger son said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me." And he devoured unto them his living. And not many days after, he gathered all of his goods and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen sent him into his field to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his... I'm reading from the King James, by the way. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish here with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." So he arose and went. And when he was yet afar off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son." He didn't get a chance to finish it. He doesn't say in the next part that making is one of the hired servants. But the father called, the next verse says, the father called unto him his hired servants. And said, "Bring forth," and one translation says quickly, "but bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And that ends the story of the younger son. Now verse 25, we're introduced to the other one. Now there was the elder son was standing in the field. Did I miss part of it? And the elder son was standing in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Called to him one of the servants to ask him what mean these things. The servant said, "Thy brother," didn't say, "Oh, the younger son, thy brother is come, and your father has killed for him the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound." Oh, but he was angry, would not go in. His father came out and entreated him. Don't know what he said. But the father came out and entreated him. The son answered and said, "Lo, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, never transgressed a commandment of thine. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, let alone the fatted calf. Never gavest to me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son," not my younger brother, "it's thy son who has devoured thy living," kind of an old by the way, a little aside. "When thy son has come, who's devoured thy living among the harlots, thou killest for him the fatted calf." Father said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. That's Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Now it's your turn. In the following weeks, we're going to look at this story, and Lord willing, I think I'm going to plan on breaking it down into four areas. Next Sunday is our first Sunday singing potluck, so 2 weeks from tonight. I'm going to take the first lesson, like I say, about penciled it out right, the way away. So we're going to look at why do church members leave? Why do brethren run away from home or the Father's house, the church, or God? So look at the way away. That'll be one thing. I will give a list of reasons. Not only the reasons why the son left, but maybe some others. Why do brethren leave home spiritually? The second lesson will be the way back. What was it about that son who was prodigal or wasteful, as we say? What caused him to get up and come home? We'll take a look at what will it take to bring those who are away from home back home. What will it take? Number three, we'll look at the father. We'll look at the reception that the prodigal son received. One of my favorite songs in the book is just the song "Just As I Am." Don't change the songs, Dennis. But maybe when we get to that, the sermon on the father, Lord willing, we'll sing "Just As I Am." The third stanza of that song, "Just As I Am," has to do with this reception. Because it says, "Just as I am," and then notice what the songwriter said, "Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come." That's the reception that we can anticipate from the Father when we come back home. So we'll note that lesson, number three. Then obviously the last lesson, one person left, the elder brother. The one who stayed home and was lost. I've always heard preachers or Bible class teachers say, you know, who was sad when the younger son came home? And they always say, oh, it was the elder brother. Because no, it was a fatted calf. He had to sacrifice his life. Father killed the fatted calf. Wait a minute, the son came home. And I have to die. But we will look at the last lesson will be on the elder brother, Lord willing. So look forward to that. Always when we assemble on Sunday evenings, that was just the introduction, so save the lessons for 2 weeks from now. But always when we assemble on Sunday evenings, we extend what we call an invitation. And we sing a song of encouragement or exhortation. Meaning the words of the song are designed to move us to come to God or respond to the gospel message. When the first gospel sermon was preached in Acts chapter 2, the disciples are gathered at the right place at the right time. You know, Jesus in Luke 24, he told them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. They receive power from on high, and I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. So in Acts chapter 2, we find those things fulfilled. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter stands up with the 11, they're filled with the Holy Spirit from power from on high. And he begins his sermon in Acts chapter 2, and he convinces his audience, and he tells them, this man Jesus, God has attested by signs, in verse 22, by signs and miracles, and him you by wicked hands have slain and crucified. He reaches a point in his sermon in verse 37 where he says, this Jesus, and he repeats it, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Verse 38 said, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, King James. He said, they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? So now they're convinced, almost hands up, we've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. We're guilty as charged. Is there any response on our part? So they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter, with the rest of the apostles, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. He continued by saying, in verse 39, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that has reference not only the devout Jews that were gathered there, but the Gentiles, even future generations, even to us today. As many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves, in other words, respond from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. In verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were those who were being saved? But those who, in verse 41, gladly received his word and were baptized. Those who asked the question, what must we do? It was those who responded to the answer that Peter gave, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He didn't say half do this and another half do something different. So when we extend the invitation, that's the invitation we as a congregation extend. Because there may be one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church, who've not been baptized for remission of sins. And this is the reason why we give that plan or that formula, because of Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42, as we read. And so that's when we sing this song. It's a song of encouragement. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve in life, you've looked at your relationship with God and said, you know, there's some things I just haven't done yet. I've heard the good news. I believe it. I've tried to turn my life around, and I confess Jesus as God's son to everybody I know. But I haven't been baptized. Sometimes people are satisfied with 4 out of 5. No. You can go 5 out of 5. Do all that God requires. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by that heavenly authority, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5, verse 32, it says, God gives his Spirit to them that obey him. So when we're baptized, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit that God gives us. That's his part in salvation. And that's that down payment in Ephesians chapter 1. That's that down payment, that earnest money, so to speak. It's that God now sees us as his children. He's put that seal within us. The Bible refers to that indwelling Spirit in your life and mine, if we responded correctly. Oh, and I was going to sing a song, wasn't I? The prodigal son, I forgot. I had this down. This song has been it was not our songbooks. It's been in all of our previous songbooks that we've had. I enjoy this song a whole lot, not only just because it's on the lessons that we're about to present, God is calling the prodigal, but the hymn writer has captured the message of that story that was just read in Luke chapter 15. There are other in our hymnal. When I look at this, there's a section, small section in there of invitation songs. Well, if I was a editor of a songbook, I just don't understand. Especially if it's a Church of Christ hymnal editor, why didn't he put in God is Calling the Prodigal? Why didn't he put in the song Almost Persuaded, or the song Prepare to Meet Thy God? Those are powerful invitation songs. Or why didn't he put in the song, All Things Are Ready, Come to the Feast? Or the song, God is Calling Yet. Or the song, Who at the Door is Standing? Oh, powerful song. Or Why Do You Wait, Dear Sinner? Another song that was in my youth and have been singing as an invitation song. Or a song, Are You Coming to Jesus Tonight? Why isn't that song in our book? Or the song, When Jesus Comes to Reward His Servants. You know, will you be ready? Will you be watching? Those are powerful songs, and they're not in our book. I'd like to shake him. These are songs, if we're going to be evangelistic, if I was a hymnal editor, I would put more evangelistic songs in the book. And then along with these other songs of praise to God, songs of service and ministry, and songs that tell about our relationship to one another. But this is one of them. God is calling the prodigal. So let's just sing this song together, and then we'll have our invitation song in 2 minutes. So this is God is calling the prodigal.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, O oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, you who wander so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still.
Substance, you know, I'm in want, the story that Jesus told, the phrases are, I'm hungry, my father's house has, in the service there, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. You know what I'll do? I'll arise, go to my father, I'm going home, I'll say, and the father runs out to meet him, bring him the fatted calf, kill it, let's eat, be merry. Why? This son, who was dead, is alive again. Interesting father's perspective of a son that's gone away from home is that he's dead. Spiritually dead. But when he comes home, kill the fatted calf, put a best robe on him, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, restoration. So we'll look at these in four, look at the story of the prodigal son or the story of the father and the two sons in four, Lord willing, four lessons. If I can do that, I'll do that. But I'm waiting there. Four lessons. All right. So we're going to sing, as we just said, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Dennis, what was that number again?
912.
912. So let's stand together. And we'll sing this song. If that's your resolve or your determination, decision, just come and let it be known while we're singing this song. Have a seat beside me at the end of the song. I'll just ask.